This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
Thank you for listening. This is the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week. The one and only IT in the D Show. We have made it all the way to episode 150.
We are closing in on 10 times the number that you originally gave us, Bob.
We should slow clap 150. We have an awesome lineup. I'm really excited to the guest lineup. We got Calvin Moore in the house from 7.2 Tours talking about what is going on in the infamous 7.2 square miles of downtown Detroit. We also got Captain Nick here from Vault of Midnight. They just opened up a cool comic book store downtown. Originally, you might have known them from the Ann Arbor scene, but now they are in the D. So, hey, our guest sponsor tonight is Atlassian. Dave, you may fire when ready.
The following program is intended for mature audiences.
This is Max Headroom, and what you're about to witness is one of the most sinister-sounding intros to a trailer to one of the greatest epics ever.
This is Billy D. Williams. Bob and Dave and I are enjoying a Colt 45 right now, and remember, IT in the D, it works every time.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show.
Hi, it's Count Chocula, and you're listening to IT in the D. Whatever the hell that is.
Just where do you guys think you are?
The Library of Congress?
Detroit?
Beyond the Sun?
Any of those, right?
Take him to Detroit.
No! No, not Detroit! No! No, please! Anything but that! No!
I used to hang out at the Mugumbu Bar. It was a rough place, the seediest dive on the wharf, populated with every reject and cutthroat from Bombay to Calcutta. It's worse than Detroit.
You will never find the more wretched hive of scum and villainy.
Then don't come! Shut up!
Dig, you IT geeks. This is Dre DiMatteo from Sons of Anarchy. You are listening to IT in the D.
So what happens when you tap the angry beaver in the bumhole?
Exactly.
Come on.
Someone cries. Get the hell with this. I'm calling a break. We'll come back to the show.
Hi, this is Ralph Macchio, and you're listening to IT in the D Show. Wax on, you know what.
Bob loves it in the camp.
What's up, everybody? This is Billy Zapka, Sweep the Leg, listening to IT in the D Show. No mercy.
I may have to wipe the geek off.
Hi, this is Martin Cove, John Kreese from the Karate Kid movie. And you're listening to IT in the D.
Yes, Sensei!
Are we at a break yet?
Hi, I'm Ernie Hudson, and you're listening to IT in the D. All you nerds out there.
Nerds!
What is a nerd?
I'm a nerd, and I'm pretty proud of it.
This is Scott Steiner, Big Papa Pump. The IT in the D show is your hookup. Holler if you hear me.
You're in your underwear, I'm in my underwear. Hey, let's hang out.
No, I'm sorry, honey. I have a headache.
I definitely want to see Bob in his underwear. That's a fact.
That's why I like it in the can.
Which kind of scares the shit out of me.
Shut up, Barry.
Hello, everybody. This is Ming Chen from AMC's Comic Book Men. I'm a techie. I'm a nerd, fellow podcaster. My favorite podcast is IT in the D.
I can't say no, and I don't really want to.
Well, especially with the back doors open.
It's just too big. It's way too big.
We got screwed at the same time. Yeah.
Really? Should we talk about this? Tag team. Should I keep going or should I stop?
We just lost our clean tag on iTunes.
This is Robert Hayes, the Tit Striker to my mother. When I'm not hanging out at the Mugumbu Bar, I'm listening to the IT and the D show. It's worse than Detroit.
Is there such thing as a meat hangover?
I love my Monday meat stick.
Hey, folks, this is WWE Hall of Famer Hacksaw Jim Duggan, and you're listening to the IT in the D show. Tough guy. Ho!
My name is Michael Zapsik from AMC's Comic Book Man. You're listening to IT in the D.
So, what would you little maniacs like to do first?
The question isn't what are we going to do, the question is what aren't we going to do.
Ludicrous speed! Sir, had you better buckle up?
Now buckle this! Ludicrous speed! Go!
Live from Podcast Detroit, you are listening to the IT in the D show,
the number one technology podcast.
On SoundCloud.
This week. Thank you, Mark Pants. You stole my bit. This is episode 150. We are sitting here in studio number one here in Podcast Detroit. There's three shows going on at once.
Dude, insane. We have all three studios up, running, and active with shows going in them right now.
Mass hysteria, dogs and cats living together.
Like, this was, and you know me, this was like, today was basically pink slip party day, where I was going through every event, like, okay, what's going to go wrong? What's going to happen? What's going to blow up? What's going to go nuts? And you know, they're running, and life's good.
Don't forget, by the way, I forgot to introduce ourselves. This is Bob the Sales Guy. That is Dave the Geek. And Nuri the FNG is in the house. Kari from Detroit is different, is a man in the film studio here. Find us online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on the Facebook. Follow us on the Twitter. Give us a review on iTunes. We are stuck at 64. That sucks.
I love how it changed. Like, oh, we're stuck at 58. No, yeah, we're stuck at 60. No, yeah, we're stuck at 60.
No, we're stuck at 3,000. It's always going to be stuck, regardless.
Hey, Joel did say he finally pulled the trigger and submitted his. So
shout out to Randy and Ian. They're hanging out on Twitter. We appreciate filling everybody in with the links and everything we're talking about. Mark your calendars. July 21st, we are going to be at the Firebird down in Greektown across from Five Guys. We're going to be in the second floor all to ourselves. No cover, no speakers, no insurance salesman, no chamber salesman, no buttholes. Just good IT guys and gals talking shop. Just what we do. What's that look for?
I was gonna say something like you're allowed to have a butthole.
That's
and
me
show
typically.
Up. You just can't
oh,
be one.
Oh, no. I'm the only sales guy that's allowed to come. Well, because I started the damn thing and I'm going. Goddammit. Hey, we got a couple awesome guests here. We have Calvin. Don't call me Harris Moore here from 7.2 Tours. He does awesome tours down in Detroit and Midtown in the infamous 7.2 square miles of Detroit. And then also we got Nick here from Vault of Midnight. It's a comic book store investing in downtown Detroit, originally from Ann Arbor. Got a cool story to tell, so we've been bugging you to come in for like 3 months now, so happy you could make it out.
Thank you for having me.
Cool. So hey, this episode 150 is brought to you by our friends at Nuri's favorite, Atlassian.
It's totally my favorite, not just because they sponsor our show. I think about how easy Atlassian and their products make my life. Being in a company that does so much cool stuff, you have to have ways to be able to kind of team up with the people you're working with to create the stuff that you're doing. Atlassian makes a couple of really awesome products to do so. First of all, there's Jira, and any software company is going to have bugs in what they do. So Jira is a great way to kind of both track what you're doing from a work perspective, especially if you're doing things like sprints or any kind of development methodology, and then you make your Jira bugs for figuring out what's wrong with your software. Then you need to document it. So you basically have a really great place to do so in Confluence, which is Atlassian's product. Basically, it's like a super amazing Wikipedia-type thing that runs at your company. And then you also need to talk about it with other people you work with. So there's HipChat, which is the most awesome client for real-time collaboration. I sit there and paste memes in pretty much all day with my guys. It's the best.
Which one. Any good corporate chat client should be for it. That's
right.
Really,
right. Yeah.
And it does GIFs, and it does you can post links to your Confluence articles and your Jira. It pulls them in, and I think that's the coolest part about Atlassian's products is all of them integrate together. So, like, if you do something in Jira, it's got a link to Confluence, and then all these products link to other products. So, if you're using ServiceNow or other tools in your environment, most likely their products are going to integrate to those.
Well, and that's the important part is they all play nicely together. So it's not we have a doc repository, we have a chat client, we have a this, we have a that. It's you have a suite of stuff that all plays nicely together.
Seamlessly. And then they're always upgrading them, always fixing things, always really in tune with their customer support as well, and basically building new products and new features based on your feedback. So I can't say it enough. Atlassian is an amazing suite for any IT department, any DevOps. If you're trying to do cool stuff, Atlassian's going to help you. So visit Atlassian.com. That's Atlassian.com. And download free trials. There are more than 50,000 companies, including eBay, Cisco, Facebook, and NASA. I mean, come on, if you're sending missiles to space and you're using Atlassian products to help you keep that organized, it's going to easily make your software work as well. So check them out, Atlassian.com.
Atlassian fits on a floppy? Because are they still using floppies to control the launch codes?
I don't think so.
Dave, there's a couple things this week that just make this make my blood boil.
You know what? But before we even get into the fun, I'm gonna give us a little plug. We started
what
something
kind of
fun.
Plug?
Yeah, not something that Nardone would bring in.
Ew.
No, we started something fun on Friday that people are laughing at. They're having a good time with. We launched Worst Meatball Sandwich
Ever.
Oh,
I forgot about that. Yeah.
Of course you did. That's why I'm here.
Thank you, Dave. So, hold on. Just a little backstory. You know, I've been with my wife for 19 years, and, you know, my buddies we've all been friends with for 20, 25 years. And you run out of crap to talk about, right? You can only make fun of so many people. So what we would do is
Well, you can only make fun of the people in the group so many times.
Exactly.
Before either you've already told that joke or they get pissed off and they're no longer in the circle.
So we would read the one-star Yelp reviews and mock. So our whole thing was complaining about complainers. So
we're the food critic critics.
Right. So for about a year now, we've been saying we need to do another podcast where we – you know, if you ever seen the sign that says "Come on in and try the worst meatball sandwich that one guy on Yelp ever had," it's kind of an ode to that, right? The king of the dipshits, right?
Uh-huh.
So we started Worst Meatball Sandwich Ever, and you can find it on .com and on the Podcast Detroit on SoundCloud.
Yeah.
So
and it was a ton of fun, and we went through Buddies and Capitol Grill.
Yeah,
and
it was an hour long episode. We're going to cut it to a half an hour.
And apparently Yelp was not amused because they deleted my Yelp post read about it.
Wait, how can people talk shit about Buddies? Buddies is like the quintessential.
You'll have to listen to the episode.
And I don't. Here's the thing: like I usually don't belly laugh on this show. I do occasionally. I belly laughed listening to that, and I belly laughed on the show. And Sherry's on the show with us, photographer from all of our Pink Slip Party events, and just for giggle factor, she laughs at everything, which is awesome.
Do you belly laugh listening to your own podcast?
Dude, I'm not going to lie. I did.
I did.
Ultimate in narcissism.
I laughed out loud.
I
laughed, but I laughed while shaking my head going, oh, my God, we're idiots. So.
We are so idiots.
But,
so, yes, that's out there in the ether. Everybody should go check that out and go do.
So that's happy, and let's go to sad. It's not really sad. It's kind of mad, and it's not really mad. It's kind of like I'm jealous as F.
Is this the Chewbacca and, mom again?
No, she's gone. She's done. She's banned from the show forever.
We should have a countdown, like 7 days or like one episode without a
Chewbacca. Is it TMZ like Kardashian free or one of those gossip shows are like 74 days Kardashian free?
Yes.
We're like, now we're officially, no, as of today, we're not even one day Chewbacca mom free. Thanks, Nuri.
Anytime.
But there's no story about her. That's the app.
Yeah, good. Thank God. But, you know, all the apps, we talk about this all the time, all the apps that everyone uses are just ripoffs of like old board games and old like Words with Friends, Scrabble. We all know what's what. Well, here we have a app that's a ripoff of one of my favorite video games, Empire, called Clash of Clans, right? Dave, you play it. I've played it. We all played it.
Yeah.
And Supercell's the company that makes it, and we all play Clash Royale. And
you
we're
love
all,
the cock.
We do. Dave's a big fan of the cock.
He's the COC. And, it's the COC, Clash of Clans.
Right. And they... You'd think like, okay, it's a game, right? How much? Maybe this game sold a little bit, and maybe it's worth like $50 million or something.
No,
that's a lot too. You think maybe $30 million or $80 million?
No,
they sold that company for $8.6 billion with a B dollars USD, not
to a Chinese company named Tencent.
Right, totally.
Which 50 Cent's little brother, right?
Exactly.
But
so 50 Cent has a 20% stake in the company, so it's 10 Cent.
It's 15 Cent. It's 15 Cent. It's 50 Cent with Nickelback.
No, that's 40. That's the 45 Cent tour. It's 50 Cent with Nickelback.
Yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Whatever. Whatever. Don't correct me. But this damn. It's like what? Three games?
And yeah. Clash of Clans.
Clash
Boom
Royale.
Beach.
Boom Beach.
Yeah.
$8.6 billion. And here we are. Hosting a podcast and wanting to maybe start a little cloud hosting company.
Because we're geniuses.
Yeah.
Only 180 employees, too. Find me another 180 employee company worth that much money.
A typical tech company, Silicon Valley, is about $1 million ahead. At pretty much any company,
really,
revenue-wise, to employ.
Yep.
Wow. Yeah. When you look at like, hey, they got 1,000 employees. Okay, well, they better have $10 million in revenue.
Yep.
Right? That's kind of how you base. So they had 180 employees. That's disgusting. That is filthy disgusting.
Well, they're from Finland, so they're worth more, right? They work harder?
They're Finnish because they just got bought. God bless.
This
I'm sorry.
Brought to you by Atlassian.
But, hey, they weren't part of Brexit, so they're still European.
Oh, European. And then the worst thing, this is the dumbest one. We talk about stupid lawsuits all the time. And a woman got $10,000 as suffrage. I don't even know what she's
for. She did not get the right to vote.
This is not women's suffrage.
Oh, she should have.
Suffering. Emotional distress, perhaps.
I watched the video. Would you like to sign the petition for ending women's suffrage?
Oh, that was Penn and Teller bullshit.
Sorry.
Would you like to end women's suffrage?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah.
But she got $10,000 because Microsoft pushed Windows 10. And she didn't want it. She got $10,000.
Yeah.
And
is this going to open up some kind of
It has
accidents?
To, because everyone had pushed to, if you didn't click the little button on the bottom. And what's the worst thing that happens? The GUI got cleaned up, and there's no more errors.
It works better.
It's Sheldon Cooper. Yeah, my computer, my new computer has Windows 10 on it. It's more user-friendly than Windows 8. I don't like that.
Oh, yeah. Nothing moved, though. It just got clean. I'd love
But it's change, Bob.
Change.
People fear change.
You know, I'm all about it, though. I think people should be forced to patch their systems and upgrade when upgrades come along, especially if they're free, right?
Yeah.
If they're free and shit still works, why are you complaining?
Right.
You get extra
security. Yeah. Who's the judge that proceeded on this? Because honestly, $10,000, now you just open up a can of worms. Those lawyers salivating, they're going to open up a clash of actions. You know, there's going to be commercials on daytime television. Have you been wrongfully downloaded Windows 10?
Has your computer ever been infected by Windows 10?
Right.
You could be entitled to a huge cash settlement.
Mesothelioma.
Call 1-800-BAD-COMPUTER.
Billboards now with Goldman Sachs or whatever. Goldman Sachs. What's Goldman Acker? That's the what's the one with Captain Kirk? Whatever.
Yeah.
Regardless.
It's kind of crazy, though. Microsoft has made it really hard to not get Windows 10. In fact, there's a free program out there called Never 10 that basically runs in the background and blocks any attempt from the operating system to upgrade itself.
You know,
that's what you have to go to stop it from going. So I guess I kind of see her point.
You know,
for $10,000.
And there's another story that came out that was cute, and we laughed because me and you, Dave, Nuri not so much because he's still youngin', but we went through getting cable when we were in our early teens.
You're damn right we did.
And
what did cable promise us?
No commercials.
Damn straight it did.
So
what do we have? 24/7.
All commercials.
It's what we're paying.
Stations of commercials.
Sons of
bitches. And here's a little survey came out. All these cute millennials, they think they've got it so rough. 74% say they'd cancel Netflix before they see ads.
Yep, me too.
Oh, they're all so cute. Long. And here we are. Here we were. We thought cable would cost $20 and no commercials.
It's the cable industry and the music industry. Everything they say, Dave, why do you download music? And this is why I download music, because the music industry lied to me. When the CD came out 25 years ago, they said music will be cheaper. This will make it, it'll last forever. But it's not cheaper. Why? Because they spend $50 bajillion a year trying to convince me that I like Lady Gaga or whoever the latest schmuck
Dave,
of the week is.
It's Gaga.
Gaga, whatever. See, exactly. I don't like Lady Gaga. Yes, I would. I mean, so if you would stop spending the $50 bajillion trying to convince me that I like someone who I'm not going to like, then the promise would be fulfilled. Same thing with cable. Why is cable losing everybody? Because we're in it. All we want is like 7 channels. That's all we want. Can't get them. And even those 7 are chock full of friggin' commercials that we were told weren't going to be there to begin with.
Well, so here, who's the big winner right now on Netflix?
Godfather.
No, who's the big winner on Netflix right now? It's Adam Sandler. Because Adam Sandler gets to put out these god-awful turd movies, and he signed Netflix exclusives. And people on Netflix, if you have it, you've watched everything 18 times. So now all of a sudden, here's a new Adam Sandler flick. I want to watch this.
I think I watched the first one. It's like a faux Western kind of movies.
Oh, it's a toilet so bowl bad. Flushing.
I got
over
maybe 20 minutes in.
And
like,
over.
No.
And so he's the big winner because he's getting paid.
Well, because Adam Sandler, let's be honest, he's the same character in every movie. I don't care what it's Adam Sandler.
But it worked in Happy Gilmore, right?
No, but
and he's Billy Madison.
But he's the same guy.
He's Jeff Goldblum.
Exactly. Who's watching you poop. He's the same guy in every
But, you know, but people are going to watch his crappy movies because there's nothing else on Netflix, and it's on the big front and center.
Right. Recommended for you.
And no one's going to really complain about it because, technically it's kind of free because you're only paying $8 a month for Netflix.
Right.
So, you know, no one's going to complain about his crap. If he would have released it, then everybody would be mocking him, going to the theater. So this, it's going to set a new precedent for how movies are released, because who wants
it
to
be
the,
straight to DVD. It'll be straight to Netflix.
Who wants to have that story? Like Uma Thurman made $8 this weekend on a movie she released. You know, then the
did they re-release Gattaca?
No, it was an article that came out. Some movie made $8. Like one person went and saw it on Sunday. Like, I wish I was making it up. Google it.
That's amazing. So, but then also on the app front, and also on the millennial front, because we bounced back and forth about this and laughed our asses off, because this is truly the epitome of the millennial app. So, like, our whole thing is, you know, we're trending so hard towards people not talking to each other, not being able to have a conversation, especially, God forbid, a difficult conversation or one that you're not necessarily looking forward to having. So along comes the Ghostbot app.
It's amazing.
Where
is
when
this Tinder? No.
It's for when you're done with someone on Tinder.
Ooh.
So
instead of saying I don't want to talk to you anymore, instead of saying bye,
you just
done.
Add their contact into Ghostbot app, and then whenever they text you or message you or Facebook message you or anything, it just responds with like canned,
fine,
like two word, three word
K.
Answers designed to feign disinterest.
K.
Yeah.
K.
Yeah, the poo emoji. Too.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
Hey, baby, what you doing tonight? Poo emoji.
Yeah.
I've got the diarrhea.
K. Dying of dysentery. Yeah.
K.
Yeah, exactly. So like that is.
Do you want to go out tonight?
K. No.
So yeah, so just have the effing conversation. Like how...
But how many times is the person keeps texting back, so they're like, well, they're interested. And it's always fine.
Now see, here's what I want. I want the results from like the first like few months of this app being live, and I want the rundown of girls who use the app versus guys who use the app. Because girls will go like I'm just gonna throw it like too deep and then go nuclear. And then that'll be the end of it. Like it'll be like, you son of a and that'll be the end of it.
Here's the thing.
Whereas, like, guys, if they think, like, if we think there's even remotely, dude, we will hit that bot.
Oh, dude.
Dave, things have changed. See, now, back when we were dating, the girls would just write down a fake phone number on a bar napkin,
paper
right?
Napkin, yeah.
Like, life was good. Then, when you had clam phones, you had, like, the 248. Like the bad number or like, you know, hey, you dial this person.
Rejection hotline.
Yeah. Thank you. Now, guys are relentless. They're like, here's my number. Call me so they can say, you know what I mean? Like, you can't escape. So, like, this is the escape mechanism.
Wait, that's a thing?
Totally. See, Calvin's nodding. He knows.
I put my number in your phone. Now you have my number.
Yep. And
I'm giving you my number.
And then you're calling me now. So I got it and I can put in your name. Oh, that's totally a thing.
It's funny, the maker of this app.
Dave's face is under jaws on the ground. They're relentless.
You gotta consult the millennials.
Holy shit!
In the podcast.
So that's why
right
Ghostbot exists, because if girls still could just write a fake number on a bar napkin, there would be no need for Ghostbot app.
Life would be so much easier.
See?
It's funny that the maker of this app says that he does not recommend it for ending long-term relationships. I kind of want to try it, though. But not with you.
I was going to right here.
Waiting for the shut up, Nuri.
I'm sure he'll say something worse. Wait for it.
Yeah, so I just, wow. I'm a little
are
floored
there any
by
other
that.
Applications for this Ghostbot app, though? Other than
maybe clients see, like, that you never want to talk to again?
Absolutely. There's so many business uses for this, I feel like.
There's some applications for this beyond breaking up.
Uber texts me. Uber texts me more than anyone on the planet.
Hey, Surge in your area.
Uh-huh.
Hey.
Tiger game. Tiger game tonight.
OG.
Beyonce's at Ford Field.
Get in formation.
K. Poo.
K.
Poo.
What about for that sales guy who won't leave you alone? Hey, so do you use multi-channel at your company?
K. Oh, that could be thing like Domino's. If you text pizza, you get pizza. If you're like, text poo emoji, send a box of shit, whatever that service is.
Zudu, we talked about that a while ago. Yeah. Oh, mother of God. So I feel this one, our Darwin winner of the week. Love this guy down in Florida. Large alligators were seen in this pond.
Has this been videotaped?
Oh, yes, it is.
The one in the course in Florida?
No,
not the giant one just walking around. No.
Okay.
This is better.
Oh.
So giant ass alligators like in this pond all around
signs
the area.
Everywhere, yeah.
They put up signs, alligators, caution, hazard, do not go in the water yet, idiota.
This is not at Disney World.
No.
Okay,
no.
Too soon?
So Jackass, literally, his friends have, you know, they're videoing as he screams, F that alligator! Jumps in the water, gets eaten by the alligator. All on video.
He deserves that reaction.
F that alligator. Alligator's like, nah.
Nah, bro.
Nah, F you.
You got any ranch dressing for this hillbilly?
Little rednecky.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, the worst part, he's wearing a shirt that says classy as F on it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. On.
And then the article said that someone shouted a warning and he said, blank the alligators. He jumped into the water and immediately yelled for help.
He was there was no delay. They knew it was feeding time in the alligator pit when this moron jumped in.
He was the first man to be killed by an alligator in Texas since 1836.
I feel like those alligators understood English.
They survived.
Oh yeah,
they survived the meteor. I mean, they're not stupid animals. You know,
they've basically remained unchanged since prehistoric times.
They ate brontosaurus carcasses to stay alive during all that crap. They know what's up. I'm just saying.
Yeah, wow. that's one of those things where you have to wonder, like, I always throw this disclaimer. Yes, it is. It's always sad when someone dies. But for the love of God, at that point, aren't we all better off that he has removed himself from the gene pool?
I was about to say, isn't the world just a slightly better place today?
every now and then, you got to put a little chlorine in the gene pool and just be done with it. Got to clean everything out and, yeah, oof.
So we're talking about millennials. I think this one takes the cake on just really. And, like, you think.
Welcome to episode 150, the anti-millennial episode.
We're right here.
But how do you think
sitting here?
No, more of us in the room than you.
How do you
enjoy it while
you invited us here.
We talk all the time how, like, it's a thing to, like, take a crap on top of Mount Everest, right? And those people never get banned from Mount Everest.
Or you do a Casey Knockett?
Yes.
Yeah.
But, like, if you can poop on Mount Everest and not get banned from Mount Everest. But this woman.
Well, but they ask you not to now because the whole mountain's basically a toxic waste dump.
It's fine. I just want to put my flag, like my toothpick flag, in every one of them.
Tell you what, I'm not up there to stop you. I'm not going to be there.
Yeah.
But this this person made it. She got banned from every national park in the country.
For 2 years. If she sets foot in one, she goes to jail.
Why, you ask?
Because she's a jackass.
She thinks she's a cave woman. She's
carving
a mark
crap into the side and painting.
No, wait, what's the crap?
Like her, like, little symbol.
Her hashtag.
Her hashtag and her, like, well, no, but she also did art.
Then
would put her hashtag next to it.
It's art, not vandalism. I'm an artist.
No, it's vandalism when you're doing it on, like, 5,000-year-old rocks that can't be undone.
On a buffalo.
That makes you a jackass.
Was it shooting a bow and arrow at a buffalo? That's a good point.
No.
They did it 5,000 years ago.
Then.
What did anybody say then? Nobody said a thing.
Well, now if you dump old cans of paint down a building, apparently that's art in Detroit. So, God, the rules are out on what the hell's art and what isn't. So
always it's true.
So, hey, we're going to take a quick break. We're going to be back. Let's flip a coin. We're going to be back with Calvin Moore from 7.2 Tours. This is the IT in the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey, this is John Schneider from Nip Tuck Smallville, the haves and the have-nots. Oh, Dr. Quinn, hot in Cleveland. Secret Life of the American Teenager and just about everything you can possibly imagine. And oh yeah, the Dukes of Hazzard. You're listening to Bob and Dave. It's the IT in the D show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show, the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud this week.
God, I love Mark Pants. This is segment 2, episode 150 of the one and only IT in the D Show. We're broadcasting live, Podcast Detroit Studio 1. It's Bob the Sales Guy hanging out with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us out online, itinthed.com. Give us a like on all the socials. God, it's too much crap now to follow. We're on Instagram.
We're on everywhere.
We can't keep up with the things.
We have all the things.
We need a Billy Strutter in our life to manage our socials.
We do.
But hey.
Find interns.
We've been talking about that for years. Find us mark your calendars July 21st. We're going to be at the Firebird down in Greektown. And I think during the break, me and Dave and Nuri just decided that we're going to have another podcaster, Metro Detroit podcaster meetup, whatever the first Wednesday is in August, over at Activate Gaming.
Third.
The third?
That's the third.
Oh, it's
my
the third.
Birthday.
We're going to have it on Calvin's birthday. So speaking of Calvin, our first guest tonight is Calvin Moore. He is the... are you the tour guide? Are you the proprietor? Are you the head officiator?
I am the owner and lead tour guide.
Ah, the owner and lead tour guide of the 7.2 tours, which now a lot of people don't know what that really means. So I guess let's start with that, and then we'll go from there.
Okay.
Like, what is the 7.2?
What's the 7.2? Yeah. Well, 7.2 refers to the 7.2 square miles of downtown. A lot of people were like, oh, are the tours 7.2 square miles? I'm like, no, we're not walking 7.2 square miles.
We're gonna put you on
Segways. Yeah, it is not happening. Detroit, of course, is 139 square miles, but the majority of our tours take place in the 7.2 square miles, which is downtown, midtown, new center, for those of you who
don't. Now, where does it go? Now, okay, so it can only go as far as the water, right? So how far north and south, and how far east and west is that?
Well, generally, a good deal of our tours will, go down to the water. That's about as far south as you can go.
Right.
And then up to...
follow the blue road on the
Yeah, up to
system,
New Center. Probably the furthest north we would go is Boston Edison, generally
speaking. Okay, all right.
So, we've been doing tours. I've been doing tours personally for the last 2 years. I was working with another tour company in the city. But in January, launched my own tour company in downtown Detroit. We do walking tours. We do bus tours, we do strolling suppers, we do bar tours every Saturday night. $5 from every ticket sold actually goes to benefit Forgotten Harvest, which is pretty darn cool.
Nice.
Yeah, I like making people feel welcome in this city. So it's a lot of fun.
It's like the feel-good tap.
Yeah.
Yeah, totally.
Hey, I'm drinking and I'm helping.
helping. They're like, doing, but I'm getting drunk. But I could see a lot of people would go on these tours for different reasons. I mean, the architecture is beautiful.
Yeah.
The food scene's great. The bar scene's getting there.
Yeah.
I mean, are people going in there with a preconceived notion of mine, or are they just kind
of
winging it?
Oh, you have lots of different types of people. I mean, you have people who have, of course, preconceived notion is probably the number one question we get, So I like to tell people I like to change hearts and minds about the city. But you have people who come in because they've heard that Detroit is a barren wasteland, so they want to come in and see it for themselves.
I want to see some ruined porn. Can you show me ruined porn?
Can you show me the ruined porn? sometimes I'll show some people that, but more often than not, I will show them a city that they never thought existed at all. They're like, oh my God, I didn't know that people still lived here. It's kind of nuts. Or you'll have companies call me, and they'll say, hey, we've got a guy from Idaho. He doesn't know anything about Detroit. Can you hop in a car with them one-on-one and show them around the city? Because this guy or girl could be hopping in the car. They're interviewing with some big company in the city, and they could also be interviewing at a company in L.A. or in Chicago or in Dallas. And those cities are Chicago and L.A.
Right.
and Dallas.
Right.
I've heard of these places.
Yeah, they are
not
well-known
Detroit.
Cities. in the United States even. But the thing is, these companies will sometimes pay a little bit higher premium here, and you can't not go on that job interview. It's like, hey, they're going to pay me this much, but it's Detroit, right? And then by the time that a two-hour tour is done with them, they're like, oh my gosh, this is Detroit. This is actually pretty darn cool.
Well, and that's, I guess it's not a big surprise. I mean, you hear that with, the Lions, the Tigers, the Wings. I mean, you hear that with even the professional sports teams, that there's a premium that they have to pay to get players here sometimes because it's not Miami, L.A., wherever.
But once they get here, they all stay.
Yeah.
You notice all the old the sports guys are all here still. None of them go back, right?
Yeah.
From, you can run down the list. So, I mean, here's a, like – I guess it's good for people coming out of town and checking it out. But what about for like a guy like me? I grew up in Warren, right? I'm a suburbanite, but I've been hanging on Detroit my whole life.
Born and raised in South Detroit.
South Warren.
So I was
but I mean, what am I going to see that I...
No, I mean, 50% of people that come on my tours are from not here. And then the other 50% are from here. And there are a billion things that you drive by every single day. And you have no idea. You're like, oh my gosh, that's the Fist of Joe Louis. That's so cool. Well, that fist was given to us on the 100th anniversary of the DIA by Sports Illustrated magazine. A lot of people don't know that.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, see? I knew that. I knew that you didn't know that,
right?
Which is why I brought that one up first, because that's the one that nobody seems to know, right? So you've got things
see,
like that.
I knew that because it was in the article about the Crisco can that the guy put in front of it.
Well, I'll take people down to the Detroit River, and I'll say, hey, fun fact about the Detroit River. It's not actually a river. It's a strait. The name of our city is Fort Pontchartrain du Détroit. Du Détroit literally means of the strait. It's a 32-mile-long strait, connects Lake Erie to Lake St. Clair. So if you paid attention in eighth-grade geography class...
Don't do it, Bob. Don't
Bob's
do it.
Like about to lose it over there.
I got nothing.
Am I blowing your mind over
no.
here?
No.
Okay, all right. But yeah, I mean, just little things that people don't know about the city or that they don't know are here that they have access to. I'll take people into the Guardian building on every single one of our tours. And some people
That's
just,
a great building.
It's a great building, but a lot of people will drive by it thinking, you know, it's a private building. I can't even get into the lobby. Because I don't have like a pass card,
a little
or whatever.
Swipe card, yeah.
Oh, like the Fisher. I mean,
there.
If you go walk in the Fisher and just look up, I mean, it's unbelievably awesome.
And that's designed by Albert Kahn, who designed over 400 buildings in the city of Detroit. He was basically Henry Ford's right hand man, and he was given a blank check to build that place. It's supposed to have three towers, but it only has one because the Great Depression hit, and they couldn't afford to build the other two.
So it was a blank check, but.
It was a blank check, but the money ran out.
Then they wrote some numbers in on that moment.
The money ran out for the country, so we're going to stop all of our building projects. But I like taking people into places that they didn't know that they had access to. I like telling them things they didn't otherwise know about the city of Detroit, because a lot of people come to the city or live in the city, and they don't – especially for the people who live here. I've had people go on a tour and say, there is literally nothing you can tell me about the city.
That's bullshit. That's
toilet. I had a woman actually get on a bus. She was upset because her company was making her go on this tour with all the other people in the company. She's like, I live here my whole life. And at the end of the tour, she was like, oh my gosh, thank you. Shaking my hand. Like, no, there's so much stuff I didn't know.
I've been everywhere, but I still haven't been on the De Quinder Cut.
You need to go on the De Quinder
Cut. Yeah, I heard it's amazing, and I saw pictures, and it looks cool.
A couple weeks ago, we just did the whole, you know, let's go hit Tom's Tavern because, you know, you hadn't been there.
Baker's.
We wound up at Baker's, which, oh my God, we've got to get back to.
What a cool place.
Yeah.
That's one of the first jazz clubs in the world.
I'm 43 years old. It's the oldest jazz club in the world. And
see?
I've never.
Well, that makes it the oldest club in Detroit as well.
I waited until I was.
Right. My fact still stands.
Oh, yeah, good point. I wasn't really arguing with you. I was just kind of. I was adding. I don't know why haven't we been there? I don't know. Why didn't we go here before?
Dude, any place where I order an Absolut and Red Bull and they bring me a glass of Absolut and a Red Bull. And charge me $5, I'm all in.
That's awesome.
I'm talking like 12 ounces of like vodka.
Yeah.
Oh, Jesus. Like,
yeah, they don't mess around with
Oh, and the food.
On the band. Food. Oh, that was the best conversation we had. One of our friends, he goes, he's reading the menu at Baker's. And,
so you went to the bathroom. You missed the opening of this.
Okay, all right.
So Bob goes to the bathroom, and our buddy leans over. He's like, man, why am I paying $4 for dressing on my salad? I was like, what? And he points at the menu and he says, it says dressing. It's $4. I'm like, man, dressing is stuffing. And he's like, no. And I'm like,
that's what we call that.
I'm like, man,
no. And he's like, what's the difference? I go, stuffing's when it goes into bird, dressing's when it's out the bird. Yeah, I go, wait, who doesn't know that?
So he comes back and I'm like laying down in the booth laughing hysterically. And he goes, and I'm like, you got it. And he's like, blah, blah, blah. And he's like, Bob, why am I paying $4 for dressing on my salad? He's like, it's stuffing. And I'm like, ah!
So now everywhere we go together, it's like, why the ranch
$4? That's so great. Yeah, so what are some places? Okay, so you guys have lived in – you've lived in Detroit
all my whole life. Born and raised. Went to Wayne State.
20 years.
Okay, so what are some places that you have yet to go to in the city?
I think I'm in a I don't even know what I don't know point. Okay. I mean, I've gone and wandered around and bar hopped and gotten
– I wanted to see – I've never been to – what's the factory that I can't think of the stupid name that everybody
Rouge?
Goes and
Packard,
takes the Packard plant. Never walked through. I mean, it's kind of ridiculous that let's go to a vacant.
Yeah, they're redeveloping that now too. There's the guy from Mexico.
Yeah,
have they done anything with the Palindrome? Because when I heard that story, that was awesome. They cut the grass. Did you hear this, Mary?
A year and a half ago, they were redeveloping that, but then that just kind of fell out of the news.
These guys are cutting the grass, like kind of like Tom Nardone, right, from Mower Gang, and they found like an Olympic quality palindrome, which is, you know, the angled bike track, like in the middle of a.
I think he said a palindrome.
No, he did say palindrome. I think you mean
velodrome.
Isn't it,
velodrome?
What's palindrome?
Palindrome is the madam, I madam.
Forwards, like mom, dad, or boob.
I'm going to get mocked for that for the next 5 years.
You'll notice I was letting you slide.
My mom was an English teacher, so I was like, palindrome? I know what that is. All right. Okay, different thing.
I was trying to be fancy. The curved bike track they found.
Curved bike track thing. What's the fancy word for that?
No, but like.
You had Jerome right. You're good.
I went to Wayne State. I just took I got a couple of kids, 12 and 9, and I took them like, hey, you want to see where Dad went to college? And I showed the Prentice building. Here's the bar I went to, and here's the place we diner we ate at. And I'm like, oh, that was cool. But I'm like, none of this stuff, like 3/4 of stuff that exists there wasn't there.
That's right.
It gets nuts watching.
And that's all in the last 15, 20 years.
Oh, it is. Yeah, because I went I finished in 96. Mm-hmm. So, like, that's since then.
Yeah, I take people over there on our bus tour, which we do the second and fourth Saturday of every month, or if we do a private tour. But Wayne State University is actually the third largest university in Michigan, second only to Michigan State University and U of M by enrollment, of course. Everything comes with that caveat. They also have the largest single-campus medical school in the nation.
Wow. Now, really?
And most people don't know that unless you're applying to medical school. If you're applying to medical school, you know that about Wayne State.
Law, med, business. It's pretty much that's why I chose them over Oakland, just because the business side of it. Oakland's more lib arts, nursing, right? Where Wayne State was, you know,
But otherwise, you know, I mean, they're not like Alabama. You know, they're not like Roll Tide, where they got a big sports program. They're a research. They're a research college. And so
they put out a couple Lions. Come on,
they did. They absolutely did. But those were considered flukes. It's not like, hey, you know what? We did a draft from Wayne State University. Right, right. That's not what we did.
Well, the team would be, you know, Joey Bell and Tom Beer.
We're known for fencing. Wayne State University is known for fencing. They're ranked nationally like number three in the nation. Every year.
I was going to make a building fences joke, but
I was
going to
make
a
Donald Trump joke, actually. But,
I wish this was video, because I'm just getting like these looks right now, like, what?
You were shitting me. Yeah.
Am I okay?
Yeah, you're fine.
Okay.
You're fine.
All right, cool.
Yeah,
all
no, right. I never would have guessed.
Yeah. Most people wouldn't.
I lived in New York City for 3 years, and did I get to the Statue of Liberty? No.
I just found out yesterday
that
the Statue of Liberty, the 7 points on her crown are for the 7 continents.
I didn't
know that. But I'm not
smaller.
From New York, so what?
It's a lot smaller.
You're giving tour guide tips for New York City.
For New York now. This is what I do.
That thing's 100 stories tall until you go to when it's like 20 stories tall and it's like tiny, super tiny. And you think, you know, when I went and saw it, I was like, that's it? Oh, let's go back, you know.
Did you slime the inside of it and make it walk through the streets of New York City?
Did you go all Ghostbusters on it?
That's what I always think of when I think of that statue now.
So what's the Statue of Liberty for Detroit, basically, as far as that everybody lives here but they've never been? What's that one quintessential thing that you find, like, I am so surprised that you've never been?
Honestly, I don't think it's you haven't been there. Everybody's seen it. It's the Fist of Joe Louis. That's our Statue of Liberty, to be honest. I mean, we don't have like a statue like the Statue of Liberty, right. So that's going to be the closest. Oh, well, there's the Spirit of Detroit.
But what I don't get, though, is...
Spirit of Detroit. Really?
I've only been here for like 5 years.
They put the jerseys on.
The one that all the jerseys go on.
They put all the jerseys on.
Calvin, you know what I'm surprised at?
Which has no name, by the way. Spirit of Detroit actually doesn't have a name.
That's why I didn't know it.
What I'm surprised at, like, hey, where to go in Detroit? And everybody always picks like 3-4 places. No one ever says, go to Coach Insignia. And to me, I think it's awesome because you get that bird's eye view of Canada, the river, a little bit of downtown.
Our bar tour this Saturday, we're doing we call it the upscale bar tour, is actually going to Coach Insignia.
Okay, good
enough. And it's on top of the Renaissance Center. For those of you who are listening,
used to spin when I was a kid.
Used to spin back when it was called the Summit.
Yep.
Right? They took all of that mechanical stuff out, so it doesn't spin anymore. But it's inevitable whenever I do a tour up there. People will say, yeah, well, how come I can't see the Renaissance Center? Like, well,
we're in it.
You're on top of it.
Because you're soaking in it.
Yeah, you're soaking. By the way, the Renaissance Center, the center tower at 73 stories tall, is the tallest building in Michigan. It is also the tallest all-hotel skyscraper in the Western Hemisphere. You'd have to go to the other side of the world to find a taller hotel.
Now, see, sadly, I remember all of those facts because I was working in the Rensen right after 9/11.
Oh.
And so there were all the security bulletins and alerts about why that was a target and why it was. Yep.
Did they evacuate the building that day?
Oh, you betcha, yeah.
All right. Okay. So tonight they're doing the fireworks downtown, right?
They are.
Okay, so speaking of.
And I'm not going to say, so this is year two not going downtown on fireworks night for us as a show.
I am sorry to keep you in house.
No. We used to be, when we started, we were at the Russell.
Oh, okay.
And so we would drive downtown in firework traffic to go do our show like idiots. So
gotcha. Well, first time I ever saw the fireworks, which is actually the second largest fireworks show in the nation, second only to New York City. New York's number one on a lot of things. We're number two on a lot of things. We kind of have a love-hate relationship with New York. But the first time I ever saw the fireworks was from the 22nd floor stairwell of one of the towers of the Renaissance Center, or of the Renaissance Center, and it was the first time I ever smelled marijuana. And I was raised in a very, very sheltered religious Christian home, right? Like Black Pentecostal. You got out. You went to church at 8 o'clock in the morning. You got out at 4 in the afternoon. You went back at 4:30. So that's pretty much how I went. You got out at 9. Right?
Now wait, Pentecostal are like snakes?
No. Those are snake handlers. We didn't do that. But this we did definitely had the guy who would push you over.
Blues,
like,
think Blues Brothers.
Yeah. So it was kind of
right.
Nice.
James Brown backflips. You know.
It was absolutely like that. But I remember growing up like that, and so I'm on this 22nd stairwell, and people are singing the national anthem, and my friends had all smelled marijuana before I hadn't, and so I go, in the land, what does that smell?
Abba Zabba, you my only friend.
Calvin, shut up. No! It smells like ass! There's a guy who goes, shut the oh. It's like, okay, all right. So now looking back on it, I feel so stupid, but that's my fireworks story from back in the day, but just kind of funny.
So quick question. Randy was saying we need an IT and the D excursion for the tour. What's max, or what's a typical outing look like if you want to get a group together?
Ah, geez. I mean, it depends. I can do a tour as small as one person. I generally try to max out at about 50 if I'm doing a walking tour. Or a bus tour. That's as many as you can handle as one person.
We're not big walkers.
Yeah, I mean, not so if you're not walkers,
you've seen me.
the smallest bus tour I can do is about 14 people is the size of a bus. So we can definitely get some people out. You don't have to have 14 people.
Can we do some giveaways maybe and put together one of those? Is that
we can put together something?
Oh, we should
have your guys come out, learn all sorts of stuff about your own city.
What can we do to make people earn a seat on the bus?
Leave a review on iTunes.
We're stuck at what, 63? Is that what you said, 64?
And then
stuck at 64?
Stuck at 64. Only if we can play Double Dutch Bus and repeat the entire tour.
Double Dutch.
Exactly.
We should stop at Motown and see Michael Jackson's sequin glove. Michael's glove is at Motown.
I'm surprised that's there.
Did you know? Okay, I'm just going on with facts here. Martin Luther King Jr., delivered the I Have a Dream speech for the first time ever in the city of Detroit.
I had read that.
I didn't know that.
You didn't see? Okay, so we got half and half. So 50% knew, 50% did not know. Kind of nuts. At Central United Methodist Church. Which is kind of cool. And they recorded it on Motown Records. So technically, Martin Luther King Jr. is a Motown Records recording.
Has a Motown hit.
Aretha Franklin and that MLK hit. I'm going to play that again for you. And it's actually longer than the speech he delivered in Washington, D.C., which is kind of cool.
Yeah,
so there you go.
Right.
That's all the facts I'm telling. I feel like I'm giving away everything.
No,
you don't need to take a tour now.
Yeah. All right,
there's a new comic book shop in the city called Vault of Midnight. Pretty dope as well. Yeah, you should stop there.
So how do people find you and the tours, and how do people like see your upcoming events, get booked on them? Like, what's the typical cost?
Yeah, well, we've got a website like everybody else. 72tours, it's all spelled out, .com. You can also find us on Facebook, 7.2 Tours. Basically, we're a socially networked as you can, we're on Facebook, Instagram, Snapchat, Twitter. All of those are 7.2 Tours, but the name of the company is actually 7.2 Tours. So there you go. That's how you find us.
Very cool. And so, what's the typical cost for somebody that wants to hop on one of these tours?
Well, if you come on our walking tour every Saturday from 1:15 to 3:15, it's free. We accept tips and donations. That's how those are just basically walking advertisements, because you never know who's on that tour. It's like, hey, my husband happens to be this person at GM, and then GM calls and they're like, hey, we want to have a 200 person
right.
tour.
So they go around the roundabout like 37 times. They go, hey kids, Quicken,
Parliament,
Nike store. Yeah, hey kids,
it's Quicken, People Mover,
Nike store.
Get everybody.
Hey kids, Moose Jaw,
Vault of Midnight, Nike store, Vault of Midnight,
Moose Jaw, Nike store.
So we do a walking tour of downtown every single Saturday. That's free, 1:15 to 3:15. We do a free walking tour of the riverfront every single Monday, except for today because they closed down the riverfront for the fireworks. That's from 1 p.m. to 2 p.m. We do a bar tour every single Saturday night during the spring and summer. That is $20 a person to go. But
he's just at the bar anyway. He just says, yeah, I'm going to go.
I am. I'm just
I'll give
there.
You some trivia if you want to pay me $20. I'm kidding.
$5 from every ticket sold goes to benefit Forgotten Harvest, which is pretty cool. And the cool thing about Forgotten Harvest is with $1, they can provide 5 meals.
Yep.
And so we've only raised, with some of the bar tours that we've done, I think we've raised about $200 to $300. which doesn't seem like a lot given how much people give to them. But when you add it up, how many meals?
But X5, yeah.
Yeah, it's totally crazy. So about 1,500 meals that we've been able to provide through just coming out and, you know, drinking and eating, which is kind of a lot of fun.
Because so, helping.
Yeah, we are helping. Exactly. We're helping. I know. I mean, here's the thing. Okay, I know people aren't generally just – it's kind of like Bono. Bono knows you're not just going to give money for AIDS research, but you're going to buy this really cool red phone case, right? Like
right.
I did, right? So – portion of those proceeds are going to go to benefit.
But you're going to listen to this right? album that we download to your iTunes. Your
yeah,
iPhone,
yeah,
you
are forced to download this, much like Windows 10. So whether you like U2 or not, you are now going to have a U2 album. But I think they got in trouble for that, didn't they?
They did.
Yeah.
They got some trouble for that. But yeah, we like to give back where we can. And I always promised myself if I was ever going to be my own business leader, business owner, and I was making some form of money, I'd like to give some percentage of our proceeds to somebody who's doing, who's, a dollar can go further with them than it can with me. So
that's awesome.
Yeah, I like Forgotten Harvest.
Cool.
It's one of my favorites.
Yeah, they're really cool. Yeah.
And Calvin, what do you think? I mean, you see Detroit every day. You're down walking around the streets. Mm-hmm. What do you think about the future of Detroit?
Oh, that's a broad question. It depends on who you're asking, who you're talking to. I think there are some things where I'm going, yes, this is really cool. I mean, Dan Gilbert's doing a lot of work down there, 99% capacity, both residential and commercial right now. But the question that a lot of people have is, who is this future for? Because there have been people who have been here in the city for a long time who are coming and saying, hey, we'd like to have a storefront on Woodward. Well, you know, sorry, you can't be a part of this right now. We've got this bigger fish on the hook who's going to come down as well. So there have been a lot of people who have been here for years who are not a part of the, you know, quote-unquote new Detroit. You've got people who have lived in certain areas who are now priced out because, you know, companies are paying an incentive to live downtown, and owners of those buildings who have sat on them for years, I'll take $500 from you in rent, but, you know, I'm not going to do anything to fix up this building. Oh, well, now this company over here is offering an incentive, so now we're going to fix it up, and if you want to still live here, it's going to cost
your
twice
rent is
much.
Tripled.
Yeah, your rent is tripled, right? So those people get priced out of the area. So those are some ongoing challenges that are definitely in the city. So that's another thing that we focus on.
But I think that's every city.
That is
everywhere.
That is every city. But I think a lot of tour companies only talk about the glitz and glam.
Yeah,
and that's a problem because you need to say, hey, here are some challenges. These are some ongoing challenges that people are trying to address.
And there's too much rich history in this town.
Yeah. And so I think telling both sides of that story helps people, especially who are moving here, who don't know what's going on. I mean, if you're coming here and you have no context and you move in, you're like, hey, Quicken Loans is paying me all this money. And then someone all of a sudden hates you for no reason.
It'd be nice to know where the landmines are that you're going to step on.
Yeah, you should know where that is, right? You should know where those are. Or if you're one of those people that's like, hey, you know what? I'm a person who really has kind of a bleeding heart. I'd like to get my hands and feet dirty. Here are 25 organizations who are addressing the school issue in the city of Detroit
now. Or if you call your company Podcast Detroit and you're in Royal Oak, you know, you're going to get get it from like two or three neckbeards.
You're from Detroit? What suburb are you really from? You know, that kind of thing.
But see, now no other city's like that. I go to Chicago, and like, I'm in Chicago. Well, I'm in Palatine, but oh, cool. No one's like, oh, screw you, buddy. Here, it's like there's this thing, and it's so ridiculously stupid. It's like, you know.
Yeah, I think part of that comes
Go to Chicago and ask them if they have 312.
I did. I do business all across the country. I always ask questions, and I get laughed at.
Yeah. More.
We have this thing here. It doesn't make any sense.
I mean, there's historical context for it. I think a lot of people felt left behind after the riots of 1967. So, hey, we're here. We're stuck here, so we're Detroit. We're going to make something. You got that Detroit versus everybody, right? Everybody hates us, so we're going to be versus everybody. So this kind of mentality that's developed over years that I think needs to change, but that's kind of where it comes from. That didn't just happen in a vacuum.
Right.
There are people in Detroit like, oh, okay, you guys are in Royal Oak, and you're claiming Detroit, but you left us here years ago, and you don't want to come down here.
No, we just left 2 years ago.
Yeah.
Left to Russell.
You guys left 2 years ago.
I mean, some of it is, we talk about it all the time, red carpet, red tape.
Yeah.
We tried opening that and
we tried.
Yeah, it's not easy. So I'm not saying that. Hey, you know what? You guys left and you just abandoned. There's a lot of. I mean, even me as a small business owner, a lot of other small business owners. I actually have a podcast where we actually interview small business owners in the city of Detroit as part of the website.
Wait, where are you running that out of?
I just have my own. see what you're doing there. Okay, all right. We can talk after. but no, I mean, there are a lot of people who say, hey, you know what? The big issue is you could go to Royal Oak. You can go to Birmingham. You could say, I want to be a small business owner. And they'll say, hey, great. Here are all the forms you need to fill out. Here are the people you need to contact. And it's great. It's just like.
And here's some incentives.
You've got a space, uh-huh. right? In Detroit, it's a lot harder. It's like, hey, I want to start a business. why should we help you at all? I just need to fill out the appropriate form. Yeah. Google it, where you should find the appropriate form. Yep. I want to actually help the tax base here. So that's an ongoing challenge in the city as well. Yeah,
a little bit.
Yeah. You're not the only ones to have experienced that, right? That's a recurring theme in the city of Detroit. But yeah, I mean, there's challenges, and there's beauty, and there's challenges. So that's Detroit as a whole for me. So that's the future of Detroit, is lots of great things happening, lots of challenges to still be addressed. Great. Long answer to a short question.
That's awesome. Thank
Good
you.
Answer.
Yeah.
Cole, Calvin, appreciate the time.
Hey,
definitely.
No,
we look forward to we're gonna get a little group together. We're gonna come see what you got to do.
Please do.
I look forward to it very much. We're gonna take a quick break, and we're gonna be back with Nick from Vault of Midnight. This is the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
IT and the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit. One beer at a time.
Hi, I'm Brittany Daniel from The Game, and you're listening to IT and the D show.
ITinTheD.com. This is a previously recorded episode of the IT in the D Show.
You're listening to the IT in the D Show, the number one technology podcast on SoundCloud. This week.
Welcome back. This is segment 3, episode 150. That's the big 150. This is Bob, the sales guy, hanging out with Dave at the Geek Nerdy, the FNG. Find us online, itinthed.com, and follow us on all the things, because you know where to find us. And Mark Pants does a phenomenal job. There's so many cool podcasts coming out. He did, what's his called? Drink the Press?
Drink the Press, yeah. It's also on our site, where it's basically the fake news.
Like The Onion.
And it's about 12 minutes, so it's a good quick listen. Hilarious.
He did a segment on this week on Shit Tank, which was like a Shark Tank ripoff, and he talked about creating an app for to resell unused party sub from graduation parties over the summertime.
Yeah, because it would match, you know, you with how long it's been sitting in the sun versus the proximity of the – yeah.
I was howling. I mean, it literally hilarious. Anyway, go to PodcastDetroit.com, check out Mark's stuff. But, hey, we are joined by one and only Nick from Vault of Midnight, who they been in Ann Arbor for a long time and just opened up a downtown Detroit store. How cool is that?
Thank you so much for having me.
No, I hope you're having a – thank you for being patient and hanging out with us.
Oh, man, I love it.
Good, good. So, I mean, talk to me about the history of Vault of Midnight. You've been in Ann Arbor forever.
Yeah.
Our friend Ming Chen has been in your store countless times.
Absolutely.
We had him in studio not too long ago.
Yeah.
But what took you guys from saying, hey, we're going to open up a store, and, you know, we've been in Ann Arbor forever, let's open up a store in Detroit?
Yeah, it's 20 years in Ann Arbor this week, actually.
Now, did it take that long to fill out all the forms?
That's a good permit process.
Full circle.
We're very happy to be here.
I think it was a palindrome. We came around on a palindrome.
That was a pododrome. Is what that
Yeah, it was so 20 years in Ann Arbor, and we opened a shop in Grand Rapids maybe 3 years ago. And
okay.
Just 2 months in Detroit now.
But I mean, that's kind of a rare story, because we've seen – I remember when we were kids, the amount of comic book stores would probably be 3x to what they are today, if not more. You know, they don't exist.
Well, you'd hop on your bike.
Right.
Ride
there was
to,
one yep. clo- within
ride
5 minutes.
Ride to a comic book store,
yeah.
Find someplace, get slushy. Read comic books.
Right.
It's kind of like every
slush
day,
puppy.
Yeah.
Every date in Ann Arbor that I've ever been on, actually, it starts one place, goes to Starbucks, and goes right across the street to Vault of Midnight. I think it like ends every single date I've ever been on.
You just described my childhood, though. Like, I would mow a lawn.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. I would walk to the comic book shop,
uh-huh.
and then I would walk across the street, get my Now and Laters,
mm-hmm.
and get my slushy, and
yeah.
walk back home with whatever comic I had gotten
right.
that week. That's nuts.
Did
you live
corner.
Across the street from
possibly
<Yeah. laughs> growing up? What's going on?
On my corner, there was a baseball card shop, a Quick Pick, and a comic shop. So like, yeah, I would. My dad let me take back the empties to Kroger. Sorry, totally
yeah.
stealing Nick's
yeah,
segment with our.
No,
we're
please.
Waxing poetic on our youth. But that's what comics does. It brings you back to when you were a kid. I mean, that's you know, we sold it to Meng. It's like, how cool is that? You get to
and,
still act like a kid and do
and
it for a living.
Still the number one most read article on our stupid website. So yeah. About going to a comic book store with my daughter.
Yeah, Dave was mad that Dave's daughter was mad that there wasn't any, like, all the girl comic book characters all hoochies.
Oh, sure.
And she's like, you know, why can't something be normal? Why is everybody, this isn't you know, the characters I like. This is, you know, she's dressed like an old lady.
It is
know?
An actual problem. It's better now than it ever has been.
Wait, okay, because that was, what, 2-3 years ago now?
Two.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's historically a problem. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, we see it all the time.
Well, because target demographic is typical, you know, it's your teenage boy.
It was for a long time.
Or older guy living in basement.
Yeah, absolutely. But the industry has changed tremendously over the past, I'd say, 10 years or so. But yeah, the comics are for everybody thing. It's not just a tagline. It's not a cliche. Like, it is, they're starting to figure it out. They're actually also realizing that there's more money when you shoot it at everybody. So
right.
that helps a
Go
lot.
Go figure.
Yeah.
Yeah, don't alienate half your demographic.
Well,
yeah.
That was a funny thing, because I went to – when Dave took his daughter and had all this turmoil going on, I took my daughter thinking – same experience, and we bought a couple Angry Birds books and a couple Minecraft books, and we got the hell out of there. And I'm like, that was a little, that was nothing big. Like,
that was
like,
anticlimactic.
Yeah, exactly. Like, I bought some crap for me, you know, and I'm like, right. Where's a Flash Gordon copy? Because they don't have none. I'm like, this place sucks, and I left. You know, like,
right.
Salmon sucks. Let's get out of here.
Right, exactly.
Yeah. That's actually the thought behind the whole shop. That's why, that's how we designed it from the ground up. That's how we do business. We're trying to aim it at, you know, trying to appeal to people that don't read comics already and trying to get your daughter into comics.
Well, so I guess that's a good question. So, it is 2016. Mm-hmm. You know, walk me through, all right, let's open up a brick and mortar comic book shop downtown.
Right? Yeah.
I mean, so how is that? Yes, I mean, walk me through your thought process. Like, who's your target demographic? Who are you expecting to get in? Mm-hmm. Who are you hoping to get in? And who surprised you that's showing up?
So my partner, my partners will say that the thing that we're kind of going for all the time is moms with strollers. That's the folks that we're aiming at. We want to be in a downtown area first and foremost. Anytime we ever open a shop anywhere, we want to be right downtown. We want to be part of a community where people are walking by that would normally not seek out a comic shop. And it's got to be inviting to the point that they would stop in, even with their stroller, and feel comfortable when they come in and have a good experience and not feel like they're not in the club or not supposed to be there. So... but in terms of I think that's the big thing that we're looking at as we're trying to figure out where to open shops is how can we be somewhere where there's a downtown and that it feels alive and it feels like there's things happening down there. And I can't think of a better place than Detroit.
Well, yeah, I mean, right? With all the stuff with, you know, like, you know, Calvin was saying, with all the stuff with all the people moving downtown now, especially in that early 20s, mid 20s
sure.
segment and demographic.
And Nuri.
Hey,
oh, and Nuri, yeah.
He just moved downtown, or not really downtown.
I know,
I instantly hate everybody in the suburbs.
I was gonna say it's gonna be like it's gonna be 2 weeks
just
before
like
he
that.
Hates us. And
it does
to
happen
come on
exactly
show.
Like yeah. that. We're like, screw the suburbs.
It's like 11 minutes and 59 seconds. So like the clock rolled over, and I'm like, bastards.
But yeah, I mean, a lot of people that live down here, 20s, 30s, single, dating, married, might have a dog, might have a cat. Don't have kids. That's generally your demographic who live down there in and around where.
See, and that's why when I heard moms with strollers, it didn't like that didn't necessarily click with me because I don't.
Some of that.
Yeah, you're starting to
strollers. Once they get to like school age, they'll be out in the burbs.
Right.
That's how that works.
Or a private school.
Yeah.
So okay, so that like I said, I mean, so who I guess I'll freely I have not yet been. So you know, you said you wanted to be open and inviting. How? How are you doing that with a storefront approach?
Yeah, so I think there's...
So I walk up to Vault of Midnight, what do I see?
Yeah, so it's a big blue storefront, first of all. Everything inside is very clean. It's very well lit. It's very well organized. You'll never find a piece of cardboard out on our sales floor. You'll never find any clutter or things just kind of stacked around.
Thousands and thousands of pop vinyl figures, Dave. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah, maybe a couple.
All right, that's acceptable.
But yeah, I think comic book shops, there's a perception about them. People kind of, they hear comic shop, and we know it for sure as we're looking around town trying to find somebody to give us a space, right? Well, they hear comic shop, and their mind goes to a
used
very
record
specific
shop.
Place.
That's what I think it is.
Yeah.
No, they look no different than Record Time when I grew up with just boxes and crates.
Yeah.
That you have to sort through and no, basically just plain walls.
Yep.
You know, and a couple guys behind the desk that are, you still read this crap? You still listen to this crap?
Exactly.
You know?
Yeah, and so we're trying to confound that every single day. And it's an active thing that we spend all of our time doing. Like, how do you convince people that what you think of as a comic shop, this is not that. This is for you. Even if you got dragged in here by somebody. Even if you think you don't want to be here.
Like if I walk in...
Some jerk dragged you in there on a date.
Exact, for instance.
Or if I walk in there and ask for DuckTales, you're not going to get like the Jack Black character in High Fidelity going like...
Do you know your daughter?
Yeah, exactly.
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 Is she in a coma?
I'm sorry. We love DuckTales. We'd love to talk to you about DuckTales.
Perfect. Yeah. Perfect.
You guys have a great location, too. You're right there like on the other side of Punch Bowl Social, right?
Yeah, right on Library Street.
Yep. Free brunch.
You're in the lower level of the Z Garage.
That's right. Right in the ground floor.
Which is right down the street from our friends Matt Thompson and CBI. They're just right down the street from you. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, sure.
So, Matt, we should do lunch one of these days and then go look at comics after.
You can go into the alley right behind, mm-hmm. where I've actually run into Nick when I'm doing some of my tours through the
I've
belt
there. I've
seen
you back there, yeah.
You're out there taking your smoke break sometime. Like, hey, how's the shop? I was the first person.
I was going to say.
I was the first person in their store.
Calvin was our very first customer, actually.
Yeah. Look at how these worlds collide.
Totally.
IT and the D
this
show.
Is what you guys do. You bring people together, the two of you.
It's so cool.
It's all the Venn diagram of life.
Yeah.
Let's talk. Okay, so it's supposed to be a different thing than the perception. Because, yeah, I mean, a lot of people think Big Bang Theory.
Yep.
They see the comic book shop and it's the nerds. Got it. Yeah, that's the perception.
And don't get me wrong. We love that shit.
That's your hardcore fan base.
That's definitely a part of it, right?
Those are the guys
that's
that have
who
the
I ran
monthly...
into when waiting for the store to open the first night.
Sure.
No, those are the guys that have the monthly.
They have their weekly pull list. They have the
and they have like the budgeting for specifically.
Yeah.
For books.
Well, what's kind of cool about part of it is that comics right now are better than they ever have been. The writers that are like putting out books are just the quality is better than it has ever been. So now those folks that have monthly subscription, there's just all kinds of people. You have people from all walks of life actually building that into their budget and coming in every month, and we know them by name, and it's not the folks that you would kind of assume.
Well, the whole industry has changed. I mean, we were at in Lansing for Comic-Con, and I was watching the guy brought his iPad into the bar and was illustrating. And was using basically his touch pen and I'm kind of looking at him going, that's not comic making. You know, like,
you're a tracer.
Yeah, no kidding. It was like, it was already all done and he's tapping. And I'm like, but it was amazing what it looked like the finished product.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And it's just mind blowing. I guess the creativity that can come along with not having to just do the old school.
Yep.
No.
Yeah, a lot of those folks that grew up with comics are now like amazing creative people who want to break into this field, and it's just changed the entire thing.
I was telling you offline, I worked at Apple, which is just kind of like the cool quintessential place to go when you're if you're at a cool mall, you go into Apple Store, it's cool to be there.
You sure about that?
It's like everybody wanted to work for Apple. It was cool, but one of the things you and I were talking about offline was I felt cool when I walked into Vault of Midnight. I didn't feel like, oh, someone's going to judge me because this is something that kids do. Oh, you still
welcome
do
to the
that
store, Sheldon.
Yeah. So I mean, how do you guys work on that? That's very different than other comic book shops I've walked into where I feel like, okay, I want to get in and out and nobody see me at all.
Yeah. I mean, we spend a lot of time thinking about it and a lot of time talking about it. We're huge comic nerds, but we're equally as big of retail nerds. We firmly believe that if we don't want to live in a future where you just like live in a pod and order everything off the internet, you have to leave your house sometimes. You have to you got to go out into the world
there
and
goes
like
the Amazon
shop
sponsorship.
At a place.
Exactly.
It's cloudy. I can leave.
I was hoping to get a drone to bring all of my comics to me.
Right. So, I mean, I'm just thinking of like the experience of having like people for questions when people come to the store. Do you guys make sure that each of you guys are specialized in a different vertical, or is everybody kind of like an expert in everything? Meaning like, hey, we have our graphic novelist expert. Come here, Jim, and talk to this guy. You know,
it's broad enough that everybody kind of has stuff that they gravitate towards, but we try to get everybody to read everything.
Okay.
That's a big part of the job. And a lot of people sign up for the gig thinking
that's
like,
a commitment.
Oh, cool. I get to read comic books all the time. This is going to be awesome. And it's not as much fun 6 months later when it's like, oh, I got to read comics.
The 300th one
all
on
of
Tuesday.
The time, right. Every single week. And I'm going to be asking them, like, hey, what'd you read?
Well, it's the same thing as working at GameStop. And then you ask the guy, how's this? And he's like, I don't know.
Right.
Well, what the hell are you working here for? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That guy's got
to. It helps that we do love it. And it is, you know, it is good stuff. You have to read some bad stuff sometimes. But it's, you know, for the most part, everybody loves it. But yeah, everybody has to have a pretty broad knowledge so that if you can't answer the question, you can at least say, oh, well, I know. know that Nick read it and he liked it, and this is what he liked about it.
Well, I was like, what are you into, right? And
sure.
It's like, well, I like this, this, and this. Oh, it's perfect for you. Or
absolutely.
It's not. I mean, that should be the follow-up question to everything. Video games, comics,
absolutely.
All that.
That's our first question, especially somebody that comes in. We get that. That's the best question in the world. Somebody comes in. I've never read a comic before. What do you got for me? Well, what do you like?
So I was just going to throw that has to be the worst question.
It's the best.
That's
we
amazing.
Absolutely love it because then it's, you know, what do you read? What do you watch? What do you play? What are you into? We can, I swear.
Go to the car dealership. I need car.
Absolutely.
What kind of car?
If you like story and if you like art, then you already like comic books, whether you know it or not.
So you guys, hold on. I'm sorry, Calvin, but I got to throw this out. It's kind of like the bartender at Hopcat and the Vault of Midnight guy are like sharing the same. It's like, I just want a beer, man. Like, we got 103. What do you like?
I just want beer.
Like, it's the same conversation.
You say, yeah, just buy Batman.
Yeah, exactly.
You'll be fine.
That's true. My wife and I did a day date to Ann Arbor. We were just kind of wandering around Ann Arbor. We went to a business that just happened to be next door to the Vault of Midnight. And when we got out of that business, we walked in. I was, what the heck is this? And we went in. And my wife had never read a comic book at the time. And she talked to one of the people at the Ann Arbor store. And the young lady was like, okay, cool. Well, let's walk you through some stuff. And at the end, she walked out with a stack of comic books. And now my wife loves comics just as much as I do. So I can go in and, like, buy myself 5 comics and, like, buy her a couple. Like,
yeah.
Hey, you got a couple of comics. I got you a couple of comics. And I'm getting what
ignore,
I want
ignore
as well,
my
right?
stash. Yeah. Yeah.
It's my favorite thing. The boyfriend or the girlfriend that got dragged in. That didn't necessarily want to be there, and they're just like looking around. I will hone in on that person, and I will just like, that's who I'm going to talk to, that's who I'm going to zero in on, and they're going to walk out with something that they're really going to like.
How about a Pop Vital figure?
Well, and that was the question I was going to go with. So, you know, you mentioned retail. So, I mean, is it, again, have not been there. I mean, so is it just comic books? I mean, what else is there?
Yeah, so it's comic books and graphic novels. I'm using air quotes
right.
On a podcast, but it's collections of comic books. It's a lot of board games. It's a lot of small little figures, art toys, vinyl art toys, kind of like the Pop Vinyl stuff, but much better than that, objectively. And and then I think, you know, toys, that kind of thing,
you
action
got a plush
figures,
French
a little
fry
bit.
Thing that I love with the French fries
the,
come out.
The plush stuff is huge right
That's
now.
That's so great.
Yeah.
My kids for Father's Day bought me a plush poop, pee, and toilet paper. And I'm
what
like,
do you think they were trying to tell you?
Exactly. No, they make me laugh. They succeeded. And the damn, I mock the Pop Vinyls, but as soon as I think they go away, they suck me right back in.
Yeah.
I'm like, man, you made Cousin Eddie from Christmas Vacation with the damn bathrobe. I gotta have it.
Yeah.
I just bought Macho Man Ric Flair.
Gotta have it.
Roddy Piper.
I got Superman and Groot.
Like, I got a ton.
Like a shrine for them?
They're all above my desk. I have like just random toys I've been collecting in bobbleheads and glasses and just Devo helmets and just crap that I've collected just all above my, you know.
So other than just selling comics, what do you guys do for like community outreach, events in the store? Is there anything that you guys do outside?
Yeah, well, we have a podcast every week.
Pretty
if
cool.
I can plug it.
Where do you record it?
Nice. Yeah, Super Skull, it's called. That's just new comic day stuff. We just talk about new stuff that's coming out every week.
We don't care about your stupid podcast.
Yeah, that's fair.
I'm kidding. Go ahead, Super Skull.
Or perhaps we should be syndicating it.
Right. Why aren't we?
Talk about that.
Talk about podcasts. I opened Doritos bag.
Wait until they bring up podcasts and then just crack it open.
So funny. No, I haven't. Totally. No, but where do we find the podcast?
You can go to superskullshow.com. It's on iTunes. Search for Super Skull. All that good stuff. I don't know how many reviews we have now, but 64 is my number to hit now.
You're about to for 65.
Yeah.
We're competing now. I like it. We're going to start selling comics in the front of Podcast Detroit.
Hey, man, we'll get SourcePoint to open a drop a display stand right there in the front, baby.
We will. Yep, there it is.
I may be a subscriber to your podcast.
What about game nights and things like that? You guys do that?
Yeah, we partner up with local places. So out of the Ann Arbor shop and the Grand Rapids shop, we like go to local bars or local cafes or events and set up there and teach games. We're kind of figuring it out in Detroit, and we're hoping to set some stuff up soon.
Well, so yeah, I mean, Matt was actually from CBI, was actually talking to us. I guess he's talking to somebody over there about getting us engaged and involved from an IT and the D perspective about doing a game night or remote broadcast or something down there.
Activate doesn't have anything on the board game related side. It'd be a nice partnership. I'm just throwing that out there.
Yeah, no, not a bad idea.
Hashtag networking.
Hey.
Brainstorming.
Again, the Venn diagram of life.
So how do we find you online, and do you guys sell online? I guess it's another good question.
We don't sell online, but you can go to vaultofmidnight.com, and there's a ton of event news there, and you can find all of the other kind of social media-related stuff, Facebook and Instagram, that kind of thing. And yeah, and then superskullshow.com for the podcast.
Awesome. Appreciate it. I, you know what? I'm going to make a point this week. I'm going to go down there. I'm going to get my Bucharest Grill shawarma.
Yeah.
And I'm going to get my
which
coffee.
Which is on Jefferson Avenue now, by the way.
You no, can't... I go to Michigan. Okay. The carry right. It. They're actually putting a little outside seating. I was just there last week.
Okay.
And I'm going to get me some roasting plant coffee, and I'm going to get me some comics. So this is going
to
be – it's going
to
be
grab me on the way down. I'd love to.
Done. Yeah. Done.
Yeah. Call me.
Done.
I'll already be down
we'll
there.
We'll do
my
Blondie.
Office. Literally right around the corner. From
I will
Baltimore
call you Blondie.
Okay.
call him maybe.
Maybe. I'll call Carly Rae. Hey, are we cutting it or are we going segment four?
You
want to talk about the food scene with Calvin?
Yeah, yeah. Honestly, we've got enough that we could talk through if we wanted to.
Yeah, we'll talk food scene. We'll talk what Nick thinks of downtown. We're going to come back segment four, the Royal Rumble segment of the IT and the D show, and we'll be right back.
Just hold that thought because, see, you messed me up when you said let's maybe not do that. So now I got to pull this back over here. I got to pull this.
Divide
up.
By two.
I got to carry the two, three, and we go.
IT in the D. Read, meet, listen. Networking Detroit, one beer at a time.
Hey guys, it's Timog, Bruce Leroy from The Last Dragon. You're listening to the IT and D Show.
ITinTheD.com.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.
You're listening to the IT and the D Show, the number one technology podcast. On SoundCloud this week.
Thank you, Mark. This is segment four, episode 150 of the one and only IT and the D Show. We're broadcasting live Studio One here in Podcast Detroit in beautiful Royal Oak, Michigan. Sorry, hipsters. This is Bob the Sales Guy here with Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG. Find us online, itandthed.com. Don't forget, mark your calendars, July 21st. Firebird Tavern, Greektown at 5 o'clock until question mark. And then August 3rd, we're going to do our second installment of the Metro Detroit Podcaster Meetup over at Activate Gaming in Ferndale, right below our old studio. The last one was awesome. We get to play video games and talk about video games.
We should probably check with them and make sure they have that data.
Oh, yeah. Call
before we.
But it's my birthday, so we have to make it happen.
All right.
We'll call them tomorrow.
Make it happen.
We can always move it. We've changed stuff before. As long as it's not the day before.
Right. Hey, and actually one thing we did not talk about before I forget. So next week, we will not be live on Monday night because next week is 4th of July.
You want some fireworks.
4th of July, honestly, I want to sit on my porch. I want to drink.
Hold my beer. Yeah. Watch this.
Dry. Hold my beer.
F them alligators.
F them alligators.
Abner, no!
But we will be live Tuesday.
I assume his name was Abner. I don't know why. You said redneck. Taste gave me. So, right?
A little redneck stuck on my teeth. But we will be live Tuesday night, 9 to 11. We're going to have Billy Strotter. We're going to have Jaron here. So Social Media, Daily Detroit.
Kari.
So we'll be here we'll be here Tuesday night, 9 to 11, going live. So join us then.
Good. So what's going on?
And then –
exactly.
So what were we going to dive into here?
No, I said we were – Calvin and I were talking about the kind of getting into the food scene a little bit.
Yeah.
So saying, hey, here's some – you know, now we like talking food scene. We had –
Hey, can we talk Brexit? Because I want to watch
I am not qualified.
I love watching Bob's face when he tries to figure out
yes.
The England, Britain, Great Britain, Wales.
You're the one that didn't know. I told you. And you were like, no. Then I had to send you like 8 articles. And then you're like, oh, okay. For
well,
once,
that was
I was right.
The vote.
Huh?
That was the vote.
That they were in the UK. Scotland was.
Of course
in Northern Ireland.
UK.
And you're like, no.
Hold on. Can we stop calling it the UK? We should start calling it the DK. The
Dead Kennedys?
No, the Disjointed Kingdom.
Oh.
I did love all the jokes that, you know, the European Union just filled up, just freed up 1 GB of space.
That's a lot of space.
Well
that's,
done.
That's pretty good.
Well done.
So, okay. So, food scene.
Yeah, I mean, it used to be. Here's the thing: like, I want to go to Katoy, right? When Joe
there,
Hakeem, when Joe Hakeem was in here, and then what did I do? I read the reviews, and I'm like, God bless it. I don't want to go, and I don't know if I don't want to go because of the whiny Yelp reviewers, or I don't want to go because of the whiny Yelp reviewers.
Are you going to read the?
Think of it
reviews?
As show research.
Yeah, exactly for your new
okay,
show.
Okay, so I've been there.
Okay.
There. I took the father of the owner on a tour, interestingly enough.
So it's a Thai place.
It's a Thai place.
And it's like they don't have a sign outside.
There are
and
it's no like, Thai people who work there. So
it's Thai-ish.
I don't know if it's like, you know,
it's Thai.
You're only
adjacent.
Jewish if your mother is Jewish, that kind of thing. So okay. It's really Thai food. But
you can't find it.
You can't. Say again?
Like, you can't find it. Like, the sign's inconspicuous.
It is real. I mean, it's on the front of the building, but it's neon. So if it's off, you're going to miss it. And this looks like just like an old car repair place. I don't know what it was, but it was something close to an old car repair place. But we went, very nondescript, had the food. Some of it was delicious. Some of it was like...
Did you say you were eating a sunflower flower?
Yeah, okay. So here's the thing, right? So they gave me some ribs. They gave me some ribs, and I was like, I'm a black person. This is cool. There's no barbecue.
I'm white. I like ribs, too. You don't get to just like ribs.
Ribs.
But I'm just saying black people really love ribs. I'm not saying white people don't.
Right.
We really like
right,
that
don't
stuff.
Make me get Bubba on the phone to come in and talk to you about ribs.
But there's a running joke. It's like, you know, how do you know Adam wasn't a black guy? Because you're not taking a rib from a black guy. So anyhow,
only jokes way, Calvin can say.
Yeah, I know, right? It's okay to laugh.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was
the
black man show. That's, right.
Anyway, so I mean, there they had this crispy rib. There's no barbecue on it whatsoever. I'm like, this is actually legit. This is really good. But then they brought out this sunflower stuff, and while it wasn't bad per se, it's not something that I would. It's only something that hipsters could think of.
I always love the use of the words or the phrase per se,
because
it usually means I mean exactly what I just said. But I'm going to put this little. I'm going to soften the blow a little bit with an LOL.
No, I mean it was actually good. It was good, but it was this sunflower stringy. It was like the stems of sunflowers, and I'm going. There is nothing.
Oh, now see, in my head, I had like this big giant. Sunflower
no,
top
it's
thing coming out of your
stems.
Yeah.
It's like stems.
Like tempura sunflower head.
It's just the stems of sunflowers. And so I'm eating this and I'm going, this is good, but it's not something that I would naturally go, hey, I would like sunflower stems as an appetizer. You know, chicken wings, you know, mozzarella sticks, those are appetizers.
Mac and Cheetos
apparently are, thank you, Burger King. But sunflower stems are not. They were good, but it's not something that I would naturally just. Hey, I want to have this. Or even if I see it on the menu,
I want to try it.
It was
kind of like when I was telling you about Mabel Gray, and they you can order off the menu, but you can also order the chef, like it's like a 7-course. You eat what I'm giving you.
Right.
And I told them no mushrooms, and you should have seen the look on their face. Like, no, you eat what I'm giving you. Pick them out. Like, God bless it. Like, you know, but it was one of the best meals I've ever had in my life,
right.
Like bar none.
I mean, you've got a lot of good food in the city of Detroit. Some of it you have to take with a grain of salt and kind of like a little LOL or per se. But
our thing is like if you put Green Dot Stables in Clinton Township or on Hall Road in 19 Mile, whatever, it's just a dive bar. It's nothing.
Yeah,
you put it in Detroit, and it's like ooh.
It is. But I think Detroit has something going for it in that. I mean, I talk about
it's a good
like
thing.
Punch Bowl Social comes down, right? Okay, so they're there. There's four of them in the United States.
It's fancy Dave and Buster's.
It is. But there's only four of them in the United States, and we have the largest one. It's a 25,000 square foot entertainment venue. But before people like them came along, you do have a Buffalo Wild Wings downtown now as well, which is the largest Buffalo Wild Wing in the company, by the way.
How's that one doing, by the way?
It's doing fine. Bagger Dave's next door, quietly closed.
They suck.
They quietly closed. Yeah, they terrible burgers.
Bagger Dave's.
But
can I tell the Bagger Dave story real quick?
Please
not to cut you off.
Please do.
Me and Dave went, and they had, speaking of
Bagger?
Bagger Dave's.
No, you said you and Dave went.
Me and Dave went to Bagger Dave's.
Oh, Dave. Right.
And,
you know Bagger? Right. All right.
So I got they had the mac and cheese sandwich, speaking of the mac and Cheetos from Burger King. So I got the – how do you mess up a mac – it's like a patty melt, but you got mac and cheese as the burger.
Easier than you would think.
And tomato soup. And they gave me
– it was like in your head, that should be the greatest tomato soup, grilled cheese, comfort
6-year-old
meal.
Fat kid. Yeah.
Ever.
And the soup comes out and it was sauce. Like marinara.
like they open up a bottle of ragu.
Yeah.
Okay.
And poured it in the bowl.
So it was straight up sauce.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. I got it.
It was sauce. Like, you're at your Italian friend's house. You're like, you want some sauce?
Yeah,
like,
gravy.
I don't eat sauce.
Yeah.
Right, exactly.
Is it dressing or is it stuffing?
Was it like dipping sauce for pizza, for cheese?
No, marinara,
bowl
yeah.
Of soup. Okay, marinara, a bowl of soup. They gave me, like, the spoon.
Okay.
Like,
oh, wow. Okay.
Oh, it was not. And then I had a burger there once. It was the worst, probably the worst burger I've ever had. And it's like, that's the bad thing. When you're not as good, when you're in a burger joint and Wendy's is better,
that's a problem.
You're going to close.
That's a problem, right. Yeah. And they close down pretty
You're going to have a bad time.
Yeah, we're reorganizing and reassessing how we're going to do this company.
Yeah, we're pivoting. Somewhere else.
But when, I mean, when it comes
we're going to pivot.
To downtown, yeah. So Green Dot Stables, if you took it out to the suburbs, yeah, it might be a dive bar. But one of the things that keeps places like Green Dot Stables or the Bronx Bar or Old Miami open, we do bar tours at some of these places, is the fact that you often, again, 1967, riots. Everybody left. These are the people who stayed and survived and made something for themselves, pulled themselves up by their own bootstraps. But you have the owners right on site, which I think
those bars would be cool in the suburbs, though. You put Old Miami any town.
Old Miami might be a bad example because
Bronx, you
go into Old Miami, you're like, oh my gosh, this is kind of a
there's a huge difference between Miami, Bronx, and
Green Dot Stables.
Right.
But even still, the point I was trying, maybe I picked wrong bars as an example there, but they all have something in common in that the owners are right on site or in and around the area where you can get a hold
absolutely.
Of them if you need to.
Yep.
Whereas if I'm out in the suburbs, nothing wrong with the suburbs. Got a lot of friends who live in the suburbs. Not everything
per se.
But anyway, per se. per se. But
very
if
nice.
I'm at a TGI Fridays or an Applebee's, God forbid, right?
Detroit Applebee's.
I can't call the owner right now. I can't do that. When I got engaged to my wife, my now wife, hey Jen, I called the owner of Golden Fleece and Exodus Rooftop Bar, Yanni. I just called him. He's third generation owner, and he's right on site in Greektown. Hey, I want to do a surprise party for my girlfriend. I'm going to be proposing to her tonight. I want to have a surprise party and everybody there, and I want to propose to her. Absolutely, come down. I can't do that out here. So I think that that's something that gives a little bit more credence to bars that probably wouldn't survive or restaurants that might not survive if they were out here. But I think that that's one of the things that keeps people coming back.
True.
Some of the restaurants that are downtown.
I heard a rumor.
And they're also one of a kind. There's not another Green Dot Stables.
No.
Anywhere.
Apparently, are they opening like 300 of them in like Asia?
They could be, but they're not in the United States.
I heard a weird rumor. If you go to DetroitApplebees.com, you go to a weird website.
that has nothing to do
I hesitate.
With
is it going to give me a virus if I have Windows 10?
No.
Yeah, it automatically forces your computer to update
Windows 10.
Am I going to
get Rickrolled?
And gives you a YouTube album.
Dave and I and Andy from Detroit Bus and Billy and Nuri, you came too. We crashed opening day for Detroit Applebee's and we trolled to get on the news. We got quoted in the news in the free press.
We had shirts made up. Applebee's logo with the old English D
as the apple.
The apple.
Okay.
Yeah, the people that were there opening it thought we were from corporate.
Oh.
We all had matching
fantastic.
T-shirts. Oh my God. It was.
This is great.
What are you guys doing?
We're like Andy, by the way. Andy's great. I've done a couple tours for him. He's a good guy.
He's been here a couple times.
Now he told me, like, he goes on, like, I don't know if that was the girl he was with or not. He's like, finds out what her name is, and let's say her name's like Jenny Slater. So he'll like go on GoDaddy and buy JennySlater.com and like point it to like the Whopper ingredients on Burger King.
Right.
like that's what he does for fun. I'm like, dude, you're right up our alley. I love you, man. But yeah, we basically took over the Detroit Applebee's, and we were there as a fixture until I got sick for 2 weeks, and then I've never been back.
And it was a bad experience.
The only reason I go to Applebee's, to be honest, is because they serve a sangria in a goblet, and I feel like I'm in Game of Thrones.
Sire, my sangria.
More mead, serving wench.
And they look at you
like medieval times without the obnoxiousness.
Now, if only they had
it. It is a straight up goblet. I've gone to a few Applebee's that don't actually have the goblet, and I get visibly upset.
Now, if only they had the Disneyland turkey legs, like with they had both of those once.
Or the Renaissance Festival turkey legs.
Right. Those are like straight up real turkey legs. I've only been to the Renaissance Festival once.
How do they get them to taste like ham?
I don't know.
No, they taste
know.
Like
black
ham
people,
juice.
Black people everywhere want to know.
Right.
They wrap them in bacon.
We want to know.
Yeah.
Turkey wrapped in bacon. That's a good idea.
Could do something with turkey. So I mean, so other like what's we all know these. Most of us know these places at least. Is there what? Where's that one place no one knows about? You do the tours.
What's the one place nobody knows about?
No, you know what I mean. Like if you bring them up and you're like, well, what the hell's that?
Ah, gosh. You know, a good place that I like. Some people are starting to hear about it just because it's not in the downtown core. I like Kraftwerk. Kraftwerk is over in West Village. If you don't know where West Village is, if you've heard of Indian Village, it's west of Indian Village. It's literally like four streets wide.
So I've heard of it. I think of German techno.
You shouldn't.
Right. But, you know, Nuri does too.
It used to be Harley Quinn's.
Okay.
It's in the lower level of the Parkstone, which is an apartment complex in West Village area. It used to be they built it to be a hotel in the middle of construction. Detroit became the richest city in the world, so they converted them to apartments, and we don't need short-term housing, we need long-term housing. So it's been a number of things over the years, but Kraftwerk was opened in December of 2012, mm-hmm. and I happened to live in the Parkstone at that time, and it became my Cheers. It was like I would go.
It's in your building.
Yeah, it's in my building.
Yeah.
It's in my building, but it was also one of those things where I know when somebody's new because I would walk in from work after a hard day, and if someone was new, they didn't know what my drink was. They didn't know. Otherwise, everybody who worked there is like, "Hey, right. Cal, here's your drink. Slide it down the bar to me."
Yep.
So it was literally like everybody knows my name. It's great. So I mean, that's one of those kind of off the beaten path places. They just got a new chef there.
What kind of food is it?
It's an American gastropub, mm-hmm. so you're not getting anything like
everywhere.
You get gas.
Yeah. So you're gonna want to take a couple Alka-Seltzers afterwards. But
it's kind of like how you feel after I just ate the Burger King mac and Cheetos.
It's got a really good.
That's the gastro
push. It's a short menu though. That's one of the things I like about places like this. Like you go to Applebee's and there's just a menu with a gazillion things to pick from.
Cheesecake Factory.
You always order the same thing,
yeah,
generally speaking.
Always.
But you get overwhelmed still by everything that's on the menu. Whereas you go to a place like Kraftwerk, there's, you know, four or five entrees to pick from. You know, all of them are delicious.
But they're all awesome, yeah.
But they're all awesome.
You know, the weird thing about that building, though, is that my cell phone always switches over to Canadian.
It does.
Roaming in that
it
building.
Does.
I don't know what it is
about
that
place. The closest tower to where that building is right across the street and right across the river in Walkerville.
Wow.
So when I lived there, I would constantly kick over, and I'd have to call AT&T every month. Hey, I live across from the river.
So I'm
sorry,
in
no
my building.
Yeah, no
Knock
problem,
it
sir.
Off.
We get it. So, but yeah, so I would say Kraftwerk is one of my favorite bars and restaurants in the city to go to.
Cool.
They've got a restaurant side and they've got a bar side as well, and it's just kind of a nice little ambiance.
Very cool.
It's one of those places that on a Saturday night, if you say, hey, let's go to Kraftwerk, you're not going to deal with all the huge crowds. If you want to hear
right.
your friends, you can go there.
And they go, Kraftwerk's playing in Detroit?
Yeah.
All those old techno guys.
That's K-R-A-F-T.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Right.
Trans Ural Express?
Is that Deadmau5 guy here, too?
Thanks, Kanye.
Different place.
Thanks, Kanye.
But great food, and the owner's right on site as well, which is really cool.
Cool.
Nice.
All right, well, hey, once around the room, wrap it up.
Let's do it.
I don't. What
does
once around
mean?
The room? What are we
I
doing?
Don't know. That's usually when I hand it off to him to do.
Take
make
your pants
sure that.
Off and dance around a little.
Well, you don't want to see that.
Calvin, we find you at 72Tours.
72Tours.com, all spelled out.
Right on. And find you at vaultofmidnight.com.
That is correct.
And the podcast again.
Super Skull.
Super Skull.
Yes.
That's right.
And don't leave him a review on iTunes if you know it's good for you.
You can if you want.
I'm just kidding. So, hey, this wraps up episode 150 of the IT and the D Show. We'd like to thank Atlassian for your support on this episode. It's greatly appreciated. On behalf of myself, Bob the Sales Guy, Dave the Geek, Nuri the FNG, do us all a favor. Drink your drinks. Get your phone numbers. You don't got to go home. You just got to get the hell out of here. See you soon. Drive careful. Beat it.
The emergency destruct system is now activated.
Conan, what is best in life? To crush your enemies, see them driven before you, and to hear the lamentation of their women.
Long live Flash. You've saved your ass. Have a nice day.
I have come here to chew bubblegum and kick ass. And I'm all out of bubblegum.
Nice shooting, son. What's your name?
Murphy.
Make the run. The run.
Game over, man. Game over.
It's over, Johnny. It's over.
Nothing is over. Nothing. You just don't turn it off!
I can't say no, and I don't really want to, so...
Well, especially with the back doors open.
Yo! Hold up! Time out! Time out! Yo!
take a chill. You need to cool that shit out. And that's the double truth, Ruth.
Bob loves it in the can.
I hope this was as much fun for you as it was for me.
That's why I like it in the can.
Joe, on the truth.
Fear me.
My job is to make sure this program is morally upright and cultural and wholesome.
Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy! Shut up, Mimsy!
Why would, like, Buick put their cars next to, like, the Bentleys? Like, why? That's not marketing.
The alphabet.
It's brilliant.
Yeah, I can't take that position.
That analogy sucks because it's right.
Because you're getting your 8-track tuned up.
Are we at a break yet? Yeah, so now I'm just, like, doing, like, stupid stuff to make me laugh.
Venture capital is not the end game.
When are we going to talk about me?
Jane, you ignorant slut.
It's my show. I can say what I want. Yeah.
Kiss my ass, go home, unplug, get off the goddamn internet. You are everything that is wrong with the internet right now.
You're so white right now.
I'm the whitest guy in the room. Just explain it to me.
Show now!
I love this city.
I was banging on the wang.
Really? Should we talk about the tag team? Should I keep going or should I stop?
Can I just say, it's been great being on a show that talks about Mickey Rooney dying for 20 seconds and then poop for 10 minutes.
This is a previously recorded episode of the IT and the D Show.